The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Many Bible teachers today, wanting to describe whether salvation is real or not, will use this phrase, no root, no fruit. Or they might say, no fruit, no root. What is meant by this? Where does it come from? Is it valid? Let's have a discussion about it in the next few minutes here on Grace in Focus. We are a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Delighted that you're joining us today. Our website is faithalone.org. Hope you will go there to find out more about us, including our seminary, our free online seminary, where you can earn an MDiv degree. Come and study with us. Become a workman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Find out all the application details at faithalone.org. And now with today's discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
Catherine, we had a question from Steve, and he heard this phrase, and he wanted to know what it meant. Mm-hmm. I think he has a pretty good idea, and he says he thinks he does, but he wanted us to talk about it and whether it's biblical. And the phrase is, no fruit, no root. Or I think you could
say it the other way.
The other way around. Mm-hmm. No root, no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And when that phrase is used by evangelicals today, it's basically, you'll know them by their fruits. You know, Matthew chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
If a person does not have good works, then they're not saved. No
That's right.
fruit, no good works, then there's no root. There's the Holy Spirit doesn't live within them. Of course, this would be what a Calvinist or Lordship Salvation person would say, that if you don't continue in good works, which is the fruit, then you don't have the root. You're not saved.
I think
you're not a true believer.
It's also connected to Luke 8 in the parable of the four soils and the second soil, that the one that has no roots withers.
Which is interesting. In Luke 8, they don't have deep roots.
Right.
So,
it doesn't produce any fruit. And so their point is, and they'll say that's a picture of an unbeliever.
Right. And of course, they would also point to John 15, where Jesus mm-hmm. says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the branches that don't produce good fruit
mm-hmm.
is cast into the fire.
Right.
And of course, there's a problem with John 15 taking that view because he's talking to the disciples and Judas is no longer there. And so he's only talking to the 11 believing disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to them about producing fruit.
Right.
And so this no fruit, no root is basically the Calvinistic doctrine that true believers produce good fruit. And now,
also that no fruit, no root really is no fruit, no life. But like, if I could go back to the Luke 8 example, there's still a plant there.
Well, sure.
It still has life. It just may not be healthy. And so that would be our distinction as free gracers, that we're talking about the quality of life when we're talking about fruit production. Whereas the Calvinist perspective is, well, if you're not producing these works, then that means there's no life at all.
And they would also say that if you go to the parable and go, well, there's a plant there.
Mm-hmm.
The
word went down and sprang up the seed. Yeah.
They would say that a parable only teaches one truth and you're trying to find more than one truth in it. You're trying to find too much in the parable. And so the other side of this coin is they would say that the reason there is no, and this is where we're getting into, we're going to go to a passage. The reason they would say that if there's no fruit, there's no root, is because God is not at work in that person.
That's right.
The reason there's no fruit is because you don't have God's life in you.
Because he didn't choose you.
He did not choose you.
Right.
And therefore, of course, you see no fruit because God's not working in you.
And if God is working, there will be fruit.
Right. That's the other side of that.
Right.
Yes. If you are saved, if there is the root, then there's going to be fruit.
Because God desires it.
That's right. God is not working in the unbeliever, and God is working in the believer.
And fruit is guaranteed.
If he's working.
If he is working. If the Lord is at work, then fruit is guaranteed.
Right. And so that's how we know. Now, of course, before we look at this passage, another problem with their view is, well, how many works and how do I know? You know, because I think even the most debased unbeliever, you mm-hmm. can look at their life and go, well, man, he that's good. You know, he does something good there. You know, mm-hmm. Even a terrible, rotten unbeliever, for example, may love his child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may give to St. Jude's or, sure. or something, you know. And so,
or I mean, there's unbelievers you think of like the Jehovah Witnesses or Mother Teresa. You know, they spend their whole lives taking care of the sick and the needy, but right. they've never believed in Jesus for eternal life, as far as we know.
Okay, so one passage that came up, there's an Old Testament passage that they appeal to. In fact, I was listening to a famous lordship guy mm-hmm. talking about John 15. And yeah. he says, you know, you're going to get burned up because there's no fruit in your life. And he said that this is what is taught in Isaiah chapter 5. And when I read that, I thought of you because once again, I'm going to put a plug in for the GES commentary that Lord willing, and if he tarries, is due to come out at the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, she's the one who's writing on Isaiah. And this lordship guy said Isaiah 5 supports the idea, no root, no fruit. And I found that strange, and I think you're going to find it strange.
But very strange, yeah.
The idea that if God is at work, there's going to be good fruit.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes, like faith alone for eternal salvation, and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah is talking about Israel, and that Israel is God's vineyard. When you read the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 5, it says his vineyard is on a fruitful hill.
Mm-hmm.
God has placed his vineyard on a fruitful hill. God dug it up and cleared out the stones. I don't know anything about farming, but I think I know enough to know that if you're going to plant something, you got to get rid of the stones,
right.
good soil. And he put the choicest vine there. He built a tower in the midst of this vineyard mm-hmm. to keep enemies away
That's
from
right.
it,
mm-hmm.
Maybe animals. And he put a wine press in it, and God expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes.
Or sour, yeah. some translations.
Now, this is in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And then in verse 3, he talks to Jerusalem specifically. So I found it strange that this lordship guy would appeal to Isaiah chapter 5 to make his point that if there's no fruit, then God is not at work. Because
right.
here, there's no good fruit, but God is very much at work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And expecting fruit. He's expecting it.
Right. It says there, you mm-hmm. know, he was expecting, you know, he put the wine press in it. He
what more could he have done?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we look at Israel, we would say, God gave them the law.
He gave them the land.
He brought them in the promised land. He mm-hmm. defeated their enemies. He gave them the sacrificial system.
Made them wealthy.
So that they could bless. He sent the prophets to them.
Yep.
And he expected good fruit. And what happened in the days of Isaiah? What have you found as you worked through that book?
Not good stuff. They've turned to idolatry. They have made alliances with the Gentile nations around them. In chapter 7, their king Ahaz is going to enslave the nation to the Assyrians through his alliance with them. They're not trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in their worldly wisdom. Idolatry is a huge, huge problem. They're worshiping these pagan gods. They're marrying Gentile women, getting involved with all of their superstitious practices, a lot of very, very bad things. It's interesting, in chapter one, it talks about the indictment of the nation, that they've just completely rebelled against God. That's what he says. He says, I've nourished you, and yet you've rebelled against me. So similar idea here, in that they still go to the temple and they're doing their sacrifices, but it's all for naught. It's, their hands are bloodied from their victims. Their leaders are corrupt. They take bribes. They're mistreating the poor. And so he says, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your prayers. I'm not going to listen to you, because these are all just, it's all a facade. So yeah, not good. Things are not good.
Obviously, when we're looking at Isaiah 5,
mm-hmm.
the idea that, okay, they produce sour grapes, so God was not involved.
Right.
If you're going to use Isaiah 5 to say no root, no fruit, but that's ridiculous. God has, for centuries, has been working with the Jews.
Oh my goodness,
by
yeah.
the time Isaiah right. prophesied.
And I think also one more verse, in verse 4, which I consider to be one of the saddest verses in Isaiah, he says, what more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? It reminds me of the Lord's lament in Luke 13 when he cries out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I desired to gather you under my wing, but you were not willing. His desire was for them to come, you know, to have fellowship with him. That was his desire. That's what he wanted. But I think this is the problem with the Calvinist thinking, in that they start with the assumption that God always gets what he wants because he's sovereign. But the reality is that no, he doesn't. And if I could make an application for us as believers, he wants his children to be in fellowship with him, but he doesn't get that all the time. We can fall out of fellowship with him. We can rebel. We can be a prodigal son. So the Lord does not always get what he wants. He does not get what he desires. What more could he have done? There wasn't any more that he could have done.
When you go to Isaiah 5, I would just ask the listeners, the Calvinists, I'm assuming, I'm almost positive, would say that the whole nation was just unbelievers.
Yeah.
They didn't produce what God wanted them. They all went off into Babylon. They all, you know, whatever. No, there were believers.
Absolutely.
There, but mm-hmm. the nation did not produce, and the believers there did not produce what God wanted
right.
them to produce.
Absolutely.
There were unfaithful believers there. You know, so you can't just, two things. God expected the nation of Israel. He was working. He expected good fruit, and they did not do that. That included both believers and unbelievers mm-hmm. in the nation. And so the Calvinist is bankrupt here.
Yeah.
Well, we hope this is helpful in understanding Isaiah 5 and John 15. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Now, it's been our delight to have you with us each day this week. It's time for a weekend. We hope you have a great one, fellowshipping with believers at a Bible teaching church and keeping grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.